friend of me, any me. Are these neck just wanna be a mini me? Are these neck just wanna be a mini me? Are these neck just wanna be a mini me? Friend of me, friend of me, any me. Are these neck just wanna be a mini me? Are these neck just wanna be a mini me? Are these neck?
Girl, grab your cup, your tea bag, and your sugar, even if it's blender. Because the amount of tea that's going to be spilt up in here, I'm sure it's going to be hot and heavy. Ooh, child, let me go ahead and step up on my tea and make sure it's hot. So come on in, sit down, get comfortable, because it's going to be a bumpy ride.
I'm about to go cool,
cool.
Leave all my haters red like old news. Yeah, trying to get the green like it's Whole Foods. Couldn't take my style and now you so blue. Yeah, now we don't even know you. Your hometown, we don't need go-to. Trying to get it worldwide.
Woo, guys, welcome back to another episode of the most shadiest show, but enjoyable show out here. Nah, but this episode, it took me a while, and I didn't think I was going to talk about it, but I felt like if I'm going to, you know, spill tea and be shady, the beyond part I have to speak about too, which is real life. Things happen, and you know, as the title of the episode, October 15th really changed my life in good and bad. But as in the previous episode, first episode of the season, you know, as I stated, you know, last year, I didn't think that or even thought that last year would have been tough, because, you know, like I said before, you know, my best friend and everyone that knows me like that. That was like, besides my son, was one of my favorite people, you know, in the whole wide world. And, he went into the hospital last year around, I think it was April. Yeah. And he ain't never come out. And, you know, and thinking back now that when we celebrated his birthday in February, that was going to be the last birthday that I was ever going to celebrate with him, you know? And, so he went into the hospital. Before he went to the hospital, I remember he was like, he had like a stiff neck. And you know me, not hypochondriac, but you know, I work in the health field. And I'm just like, well, you know, bestie, you know, give it a couple of days. It might be a stiff neck. And, you know, and if not, you know, you go check it out. One thing about my best friend, one thing about Terrell, he procrastinated and he was very hard-headed at times. And, you know, I was, you know, so it went on. He's like, it's still there. So I said, we should go to the doctor. He's like, yeah, I'm gonna go. And then he developed a cough or whatever. First, he thought it was COVID. It wasn't COVID. He got tested. He was good, whatever. He developed his cough. So I said, you should go. I said, you need to go to the doctor. Just get it checked out. His birthday came around. We celebrated his birthday. Then he went to Puerto Rico with his boyfriend. And he came back. And, you know, he's going through his own personal stuff. And we used to talk, you know, on the phone. He just like how there's things that he wanted his life to change. And he wanted to move past his relationship because it wasn't working. Because his boyfriend was still up to no good. Whatever. But at the same time, I was telling him, you know, go to the doctor. He's like, I'm going to go. Because I know, go. You need to go and see what's going on. So he went. And, you know, the symptoms or whatever like that, they say it's the, lymphoma or whatever like that, you know. So I was just like, well, from what I've researched, you know, and I asked one of my doctors, it's not deadly, you know, and, you know, it's curable. So he went, you know, then he went to, he went to an ENT doctor. They did a biopsy, blah, blah, and they confirmed what it was, whatever. And from what I heard and from what I understand is that they offered him to do, like, to be admitted and do treatment, but he'd rather do treatment on the outside. So, you know, once he did that, I was just like, well, if it's curable, I know you don't want to go through that. You know, I know your grandmother, you know, went from that and stuff like that. But, you know, see what the treatment is like. So I guess he started doing treatment. And I think it was around April. He went to a hospital here in the Bronx. And they wasn't really doing anything for him. But he was still, you know, he was still calling me and talking to me, whatever. And then he discharged himself out. Then he went home. And one of our friends was, more his friend was, when he, you know, checking on him and stuff like that. And the boyfriend at the time. And, you know, from what they told me, one day they seemed like he was having, like, trouble breathing and stuff like that. So they took him to the hospital. This time they took him to Presbyterian in 168 over there. And so he was there, or whatever like that. And I guess, long story short, he wouldn't allow me to see him. Like, you know, our friend was just like, he's not ready, you know, he didn't want me to see him like that because his health was declining and stuff like that. But I still talked to him on the phone here and there, you know. And then, so that was that. Then he was there. You know, his boyfriend was there giving me updates throughout the, you know, him being there. And then he had a turnaround moment. You know, he was doing physical therapy and this, because it was a lot of his legs were swelling, you know, stuff like that. And then, you know, they had to give him catheter, you know, all types of stuff. And when I finally got to see him, he was in ICU. So he was out of it. And I didn't get to see him until, like, August, because he didn't want me to. You know, our friends just convinced him, well, you know, that's your best friend. Like, let him see you, blah, 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 blah. So I went. He was kind of out of it then, or whatever. Then the second time I went after work. And he was in the regular side of the hospital. He was, you know, he was up. He wasn't not mobile or nothing like that. They had him comfortable and stuff like that. And, you know, he was watching the Eve show. He was rewatching the episodes or whatever like that. You know, I was able, you know, talking to him and stuff like that, whatever like that. And then after that, you know, I left. I went home or whatever like that. And then the next time I seen him was the last day, which was October 15th. So crazy, the day that Adele's song came out, Easy On Me. And first thing when the song came out, I said, oh, you know, Terrell would love this song or whatever like that. And I was at work and our friend called. I was like, well, you should come see him because they're saying this is the, you know, it might be the end. So basically, just to really catch up. So the lymph node or whatever like that, it is curable. But because he already was compromised health-wise, the chemo, it just wasn't mixing with him. And so it was either the other health issue that he had was going to take him out, or the cancer was going to take him out, because the chemo just wasn't, it was tearing him apart inside of that. It wasn't helping him as it was supposed to. And, but I went that day, that Friday. You know, our friend was just like, just come see him, whatever, whatever. So, you know, I'm like, all right, I'm going to go see him. But deep down inside, and I know a lot of my friends was worried and stuff, like, no one is prepared 100%. But I prepared myself mentally a long time ago because, you know, being in this field, we know, we read, we study, we do all these things. I might not be a doctor, but we know certain things. And when you keep asking updates and the person's just telling you, oh, he's okay, he's good, he's comfortable, he's watching TV, it's a sign of the end is coming, because it was never any news about oh, you know, he's getting better, he's doing this. It was just always, oh, he's comfortable, he's okay. So in my mind, I already knew, like, you know, I didn't know when, but I knew the end was coming because, like I said, the news was never, you know, good. It was just the same. So when you know, if you experienced it out there, anybody, if someone is ill, terminally, and they just say, oh, they're comfortable. Then when they make them comfortable, like, there's nothing else they can do. And at some point, as our friend was just like, they say there's nothing else they can do but just leave him and make him comfortable. Because the chemo wasn't working, you know what I mean? And his immune system was already compromised with something else. So, you know, it basically took him out. The cancer took him. And so I leave work, I go to the hospital, you know, I go up, his mom is there, you know, his close friends is there, and his other friends is there, and stuff like that. And, you know, his mom, you know, was like, you know, how are you? You know, how you doing? I said, you know, I'm great, I'm okay. And she was just like, you know, before, you know, then she's like, when I was coming to see him, the first thing I asked him was the first time when I came to see him, why your best friend not here? And, you know, he's like, mommy, you know, I don't want him to see me like this. And she's like, him being your, you know, who he is to you, would he ever judge you? He's just like, no. So, you know, I guess that helped. I guess that actually helped let him, I guess, allow me to come see him and stuff like that. But, you know, I came in, his mom was like, how are you? I said, I'm good. I was like, how are you? So she's like, no, how are you? I was like, what you mean, how I am? She's just like, you know, we didn't have the best relationship. Me and him didn't have the best relationship. He's like, but, you know, you was the most important person to him in the world. Like, you know, I want to know how you're doing. Like, you know, you're everything to him. And I was just like, honestly, I kept it real. I was like, honestly, I said, you know, I'm dealing, I'm okay. And, but I said, I'm not, honestly, and it's not harsh, but I said, I'm not wishing for a miracle. Like, I have no hope. I mean, I said, I just know it's going to be that time. You know, she's just like, I know. And she was just like, whatever, like that. So, you know, we all went to his room or whatever like that. And, you know, he was, you know, he couldn't speak or anything like that. You know, he lost, of course, a lot of weight. Like, he didn't look like himself. You know, we were just standing there or whatever like that. And, you know, I had my moment, you know. Everyone's going to break down, you know, as strong as I am, you know. And, you know, and he was just laying there and, you know, I went to the other side of his bed and, you know, I held his hand and, you know, and he just, you know, he looked at me and he just kept shaking his head no. And I was just like, you know, it's okay. That's all I said was like, it's okay. Like, it's okay. You know, like, you fought the fight. You know what I mean? If you feel this is the end, you gotta go. Then I said, then you do what you do. I said, I'm going to be okay. Like, I'm going to be all right. Like, I'm going to, you know, I'll be fine. And, you know, he just kept shaking his head no. And then, you know, I just kept telling him, it's okay. And then, you know, he finally stopped shaking his head. And, you know, tears came down rolled down his face and stuff like that. And, you know, I just held his hand and I just, you know, that, for me, that was my goodbye. And I think overall, it was closure and it helped me to deal with it. And, you know, and not just saying like I'm that person, I was the only person, but I really felt like I was the one of the people that he wanted to see. And so we stayed and then I got home around 10 something, you know, besides that, you know, his mom broke down and everything like that. And I got home and me and my other friend, we walked from 168th all the way to 207, where I get on the 12 bus to go home. And we got on the bus. I got off, got home. I got something to eat. I was trying to settle in and the text came and it said, you know, he left us at, I think it was like 10 something. And the crazy part about it is I felt it and I knew it. That day, that same day, I said, I knew it after I left the hospital. I knew that it was going to be the moment. Like, he held on until either I left or most of us, majority left. And, You know, and I just sat here and I was just like, okay. You know, and it's a very sad moment because, you know, we're young, only 34 years old, and I don't, like, to this day, it's just, I have my moments where it's, I have a, not unbelievable moment, but I'm just like, wow. Like, the number one person, my favorite person in the world, is not here. And it's like I was telling his mom in the hospital. I was just like, you know what's so crazy? I said, me and Terrell always made a pact that if we ever, you know, when we was to get older and we like 40-something or something like that, and we both single, not saying that we would be together, because no matter how close we was, like, we was close, and people always used to wonder, well, why don't y'all date? And it's just something that we just felt like, no, our friendship means way more. Like, we'd rather stay friends than not try, and then it don't work, and then we lose a whole, you know, we lose our friendship at the same time. But we made a pact that if we both were single, that we would just move somewhere like Florida. If we had the money and stuff, that we will have surrogates, and we will raise, we'll have kids, and we'll raise them together and live together. Like, that was the ideal of the pact that we made, and we never found anybody, like, when we was like 45 or something like that. And, you know, unfortunately, it sucks that that would never happen, but, you know, it, and what keeps me going is also all the good memories, you understand? Like, I relived them over and over, and, you know, everyone has their own process of how they post to, how they're going to grieve and how they're going to talk. And for me, it was, I cried when I needed to cry. I talked about it when I needed to talk about it. And then it was to the point where I just didn't want to talk about it no more. Like, I was done talking, you know, and, and, you know, and so crazy about it is, you know, everybody's worried about me, but I was so worried about my son, because, you know, that was Uncle Terrell to him. And it's like, you know, 8 years old, you know, I know his, you know, his mom told him, but it's like they, you know, they loved each other. Like, they had their own bond, you know? So it's like, how do I tell him, you know, Uncle Terrell's not here? You know what I mean? Like, he's never going to talk or see, you know, Uncle Terrell ever again. You know, so that's what I was worried about. I was more worried about how my child is going to handle it and how he's going to take it or whatever like that. But, you know, his mom told him, and, you know, our child is very, like, he doesn't show emotion. And she told him, and he just walked to his room and closed his door. And I guess he had his moment, and I guess he was all right. But, you know, overall, like I said, I talk about it when I need to. You know, I don't think about how I saw him last, but, you know, the funeral came, was it 2 weeks later, I think, or something like that. And, you know, of course, I don't like funerals, but of course I went, took off work that day, of course. and all I gotta say was, I understand, you know, physically the cancer changed how he looked, but that ain't my best friend laying there. Who that? Like, like, that ain't him. But you know what? I can just say, you know, of course people's gonna cry and stuff, and I'm not very good at funerals because I know people have grieved the way how they want, but, you know, for me, no shame, when people start falling out and stuff, I can't take that for very long, because, you know, I look at it as the person's already gone. Like, it's like, but that's just me. But people's gonna do what they want. But, you know, the funeral happened. One of my other best friends that I knew from high school, you know, he came and supported, and whatever like that. And then my son came home with me that night, or whatever like that. And, you know, now, every day since, you know, I have his obituary there on my bookshelf, and I have the t-shirt his mom had made hanging up. And every morning I wake up, I say, good morning, Terrell, you know, not out loud, but in my head. And, you know, and then before I leave out, I say, all right, I'm going to work. You know, I see you later. And, I go to work, I come back, I look at his pictures, and I just, you know, you know, how was your day? You know, mine was whatever. And then I go on about doing what I do. And like I said, and what else helped me too is that maybe a couple of days, maybe like a week or so later, I was, you know, dreaming, of course, and, you know, he came to me in my dreams, but it was more like it wasn't physical, it was more like a phone call, and we was chopping it up, and, you know, he's just like, hey, bestie, how are you, you know, and I said, you know, I'm good, I'm hanging in there, you know, day by day, and I was just like, well, you know, a lot of people, you know, a lot of my friends are worried about me because, you know, I seem so calm and so, you know, really no emotion and stuff like that. They just worried if I'm okay, if I'm, you know, ignoring the pain and stuff like that. And, you know, he said, you know, bestie, he's just like, you know what? He's just like, you're doing, he's like, I see, you're doing okay. You're doing fine. You're not, he's like, you know, you're not one of those people that show emotion like that. So he's like, I don't expect you to show it. He's like, but you're doing okay. You're doing fine. Like, I know you're going to be okay. And, you know, then I woke up and that, you know, that just made me feel like, you know, all right, he's good. You know, he said he's happy. He's okay. Like our other friend was like the next day, even that next day, he came to her, I guess, right away. And he let her know that he was okay. It's beautiful wherever he's at. It was like a phone call for her too. I guess because we just love to key on the phone. I guess that was just the way of him, I guess, reaching out. And she was just like that. He said that he's okay. It's beautiful. And he just want us three to, you know, be there for each other and stuff like that. And that he loves us. And he's just like, okay, they're calling me. I gotta go. And she said she woke up. But, you know, overall, like, you know, I miss him every day because there's things that happen in my life still. And I just like, you know, I can't pick up the phone to call him to get his opinion and his thoughts. And I just felt like, you know, he was that one person that would gather me up real quick. You know, and that was our friendship. We used to get each other together and we never felt any type of way. You know, we'll take it and we move on. And, you know, he always used to be like, sometimes whenever he wasn't that serious, he'd be like, bestie, it ain't that serious. Just like, let it go. You know what I mean? Like, he always centered me. And what people don't know, like, soulmates come in so many different forms that he was my soulmate in life. Not romantically, but he was my soulmate just as my friend and just as a person, you know. And one of my friends was just like, yeah, but you know, you got your son and this. And I was just like, yeah, I have him. But I said, overall, I said, I can never get that back. You understand? No matter who I meet in the future or whoever it is, I would never have that connection, that same exact connection that me and Terrell had. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was my soulmate. Like that, he was my everything, you know? So, but at the same time, you know, I don't want y'all to feel sad or for me or whatever, because this episode is probably going to touch some people. But overall, like, I'm really okay. And like I said, I have my moments when I need to talk about it. I talk about it. And I just feel that he is with me every day. You understand? Like, I feel his presence. And I ain't even gonna lie. Listen, after that night that he passed, I woke up. It's so crazy. I woke up in the middle of the night and my son was asleep. I woke up. Well, what's it the next? I don't know what it was, but I woke up and Sex and the City was on. No, I think it was a couple of nights after. Sex and the City was on. And I woke up and I looked at the TV and I said, oh, Terrell, I know you here watching Sex and the City, but I'm tired. I'm going back to sleep. You can watch it. Like, I just always felt his presence when he was just, I guess, here and around. And for a while, it was this time. It was at this point in time where it was like, I used to wake up every day at like 1, 2 a.m. for no reason. Like, I just wake up. And then sometimes I used to be like, all right, Terrell, I'm trying to sleep. Like, I got to go to work tomorrow. Like, I don't know what time it is, wherever you at, but you coming over here at this time, waking me up, you know, and I mean, it hasn't happened in a while, so I'm guessing he's probably doing whatever God got him up there doing, whatever his mission is. But, you know, I still feel him, and, you know, I know he's there, and I know he in a way, he still keeps me centered. He gets, you know, he makes me centered, and, you know, I guess it's just, like they said, this is that feeling and that void is never going to go away. But you know, like I said, I didn't, when I wanted to bring, you know, work on season two, I didn't want to talk about it, but I was just like, well, if I want my show to be as real and raw as possible, this is something I have to talk about, because there's so many people around the world that's going through this every day. You know, people's losing parents, brothers, sister, cousins, best friends, all types of stuff. And I just want to tell anybody out there that is going through this is, don't allow anyone to tell you how to grieve. But what I will say is, don't hold it in. If you need to cry, cry. If you need to talk about it, talk about it. If you need to write about it, write a song, a poem, whatever, do those things. Let that, you know, let it out, because then that's where some people fall into depression or, you know, in different things. And then they get into that dark place and it's hard for them to get out of. Like I said, everyone grieves differently. Everyone is not me. But if you can, share those thoughts. Again, talk about it. Write about it. You know what I mean? So even if you just have to call someone for them to listen, text somebody, I'm feeling like this right now. You know? And that's what my friends do. That's what we do. When we have those feelings, we hit each other up. May I miss him? You know, I'm having that feeling right now. You know? And we comfort each other, and then we keep, you know, we still live on, because now I look at it as I'm living for him too. You know what I mean? And I feel a little bit of him is with me, because a lot of stuff that how I was before, I ain't the same. Like, I don't take a lot of stuff. I really say what I gotta say now to people, and I don't feel sorry about it. And now I'm in that space where it's just like, I just wanna live, because that's what I was saying before. Like, today is tomorrow's never promised. It's never promised. You know what I mean? And experience and going through that, it really opened my eyes that I just need to live. I just need to have fun. I need to live in the moment, because you never know. You know, his life was cut short, but listen, God needed, you know, he takes his best children. You know what I mean? And I just want to share that with you guys. And right now, I just take a moment of silence and for Terrell, and you know, you guys can take that moment with me. Okay, guys, thank you for listening, and I'll see you back. Well, you will hear from me, and I hope you tune in next week for the next episode. I think it's gonna be a good one. So, holla.